Again, my name is Steve Elzinga. I'm here with Henry Reinga. Welcome again, Henry. We're looking at how you would start a coaching session with someone.
Okay.
We looked at sort of what coaching is not, what coaching is, the three things that a coach actually does. I help you make a decision about some action. I help you get a plan. Then I help you manage the plan so that you're successful at it. But there's one more thing and I think it's unique to the kind of coaching we teach at CLI. I don't know if other coaching systems actually go through this, but here at CLI we think this is a foundational thing, and that's the prerequisites to making coaching work.
Okay.
Because in some ways, we talked last time how coaching is client-centered. In other words, I'm trying to help you figure out stuff for yourself, and I'm believing in you, and I think you can do it, and I think solutions are there inside of you. That only works if you're a Christian.
Right.
I mean, if you're a non-Christian, I talk about that in the class. I could be helping you become a better bank robber or a more self-absorbed person or a more selfish person or a womanizer or whatever it might
be. One thing I have never loved about psychology and even therapy as a pastor, and just being honest with you.
Right.
Because a lot of times when I've studied that stuff, it really says, well, you can't really influence people and you just want them to talk. And, and sometimes that's made me sad.
Yeah, because then, without Christ, we know it all falls apart. How am I going to help you solve your problems when you're bankrupt?
Yeah.
So in this, now, we're going to go over some things that I think are prerequisites. Does this mean that your client has these things perfectly?
No.
Right. No.
Yeah, I can see that.
In fact, your client could be missing them entirely, some of these things. This isn't the time to, as I go over these things, I'm not trying to drill down and solve some of these sort of issues. I'm bringing them up to see where you're at so I know what I'm working with. And then later on, when this might become a problem, I can drill down on those things.
Oh, I see. So in a lot of ways, in this session, you're identifying what someone's, quote, prerequisite knowledge, walk with God is like.
Yes.
See what you're dealing with in terms of their own values and beliefs.
Right. I'm not going to, now, unless the conversation goes that way, I'm not really going to insist. We'll get started, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. So number one, I think the number one prerequisite is to have a saving connection to Jesus.
Okay.
Now, what I'm saying about the drill down, if I was a Baptist, then I'd be asking you, when did you give your life to Christ? If I was a Reformed coach, I'd be saying, when did you get baptized? I'd be sort of qualifying all these things. I'm just going to leave it. I'm just a general, hey, do you have a saving connection to Jesus Christ?
Right, I see.
And what would you say if I asked you that?
I do.
Yeah, okay. And if you elaborated on it, you'd elaborate on it. If you didn't, I would just accept it as it is. I'm not going to try to, does that mean, and try to...
Oh, I see. So if I said no, you would not just do the gospel right there.
Well, I would say, I would say, now this is Christian counseling. Do you want to know more about that?
Okay.
Or, I might not. I don't know. It depends on a relationship.
Right.
Remember, we're just starting out.
Right.
And I don't want us to all of a sudden have a big fight about whether you know Jesus or not.
You don't want to get into the weeds.
Right.
And then sacrifice a relationship.
Now, I know that a relationship with Christ is absolutely essential, or how are we going to succeed at anything?
Right.
Okay?
So, in other words, it's like what you've talked about on the connections, what's your spiritual dream?
Yeah.
It really is just back to that.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So number two, do you know about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Spirit in you, for example?
Now, let me just get this straight. Yeah. So you're a life coach minister, and minister communicates that you're going to ask a couple of God questions.
Yes.
This is different than just life coach. Right. Who would not go on this because you're an ordained minister.
Right.
So,
and a lot of times you'll be dealing with people in the church and this is going to be no trouble. Right. But you're going to have some clients that are just marginally or nominally or sort of connected.
So you're actually bringing that up. Say, well, so what's that Holy Spirit thing you asked again?
Right.
Is that on the card?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Spirit. So I have three things on here. The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the guidance of the Spirit.
So
do you know what the, do you know what the fruits of the Spirit are?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and
so if you did, I would just say this.
Okay.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness.
If I didn't. Faithful.
Yeah. So that's one of the verses you should remember.
I see. Okay.
Right? So I can just quickly say that. The fruit of the Spirit is, we, as Christians, we believe the Spirit is in us, and He exhibits Himself in these kinds of things.
I got you.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness.
In some ways, you're really laying the ground rules in many ways of this relationship.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And why it's important is because I'm believing in you.
Right.
And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you have all these gifts. And not only that, you not only have the fruits of the Spirit, but you have the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
Do you know what your spiritual gift is?
Faith and leadership.
Okay.
And,
you know, so you do know.
Yeah.
Now, maybe someone would go, I don't even know what that is.
Right.
Well, then I would just briefly, it's not my time to go into depth
on
things. But the fruit of the, we believe as Christians that everyone has the Spirit in them, and the Spirit promises to give each one a gift, leadership, helping, service, leadership.
Vision. Mission,
all those things. Yeah. So, okay, that's interesting. And then finally, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We believe that praying to God, God can speak to you, He can guide you, He can show you the way. And the reason this is important, because I'm going to be asking you to try to figure out your life. But you want to rely on the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You want to walk with God, you want the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Don't worry about it if you don't, you know, you're like a newbie on this stuff.
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
Number three, you have a walk with God.
Right.
Okay, walk with God is talking, listening repeatedly.
Yeah. We know about that, everybody, right? Yeah.
So prayer.
The connections. Yeah.
You have a prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
Are you reading
the
Bible?
Open the Bible. Yeah. Read it.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe they say that they don't. Well, you know, now I might just say, well, are you interested in having that?
Right.
Because I can easily show you how to do that.
Right.
And then be prepared to give them something. Something that they could read and a little prayer thing. Number four, part of a church.
Hmm.
Are you part of a church?
Yeah.
Well, I was a part of a church, and then,
okay.
You know, And the reason why that's important is because you need the support of other people.
Right.
In becoming what you want to become.
I would imagine all of those things, even that church one, gives you already a pre-existing understanding of the client just by these issues.
Right, because if he doesn't have a walk with God, and he doesn't have a connection to church, you can see why he's struggling.
Right.
He doesn't have the support he needs to make anything happen in his life.
Right.
And so he's frustrated.
Right.
So we need to get some of that going if we're going to succeed. Then number five, the seven connections, which is, do you have a relationship to God? Do you have a connection to your wife and God? Do you have a connection to your family and God? Do you have friends, godly friends? Are you a part of a church? Are you connected to what God is doing, like, you know, taking CLI classes? You're part of a kingdom thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any of these things going in your life?
Now, in some ways, that's fascinating to me because I can see that somebody might say, well, I do read the Bible and pray somewhat in my own life, nothing with my wife.
Yep.
Occasionally, we do it with my family. I do go to a small group, but that's only like once in a while. And I attend church, once a month. I mean, you would know a lot of pre-existing types of things.
Yes.
But just by going through this, and this is, now, is this the second session then? The first is?
No, I would probably still do this in the.
Oh, so this is like the second sort of part of the first.
This is sort of your download of. I think Abraham Lincoln said it, that, you know, if he was going to cut a tree down and he only had 2 hours, he'd spend the first hour sharpening the saw.
Right.
Before the axe, down. And so a lot of times, even like you go to a small group meeting and people just start having a small group, they don't go over the rules or what the expectations are. And then later on, people end up fighting about things.
And right.
Most marriage problems are because the expectations have never been talked about.
Gotcha.
So up front, we just talk about all these things.
Right.
So they have a general idea of, now they're going to remember everything you said.
Right. but you are.
Right? You're going to remember what they said, and it's going to help you. You won't be surprised when they come up with some of the things. And you'll be able to, like, if you don't have many of the seven connections, that's one of the models that we can use on getting them to think about what they want to change in their life.
Right.
So I might be more inclined to use that one because I know they're missing all those things.
Right. And you have insights to serve them better as a minister just by knowing where they truly are.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And then you can kind of help them. You know where to start helping them. Okay, number six is you need to take responsibility. So a prerequisite is a disposition towards taking responsibility. So I want to know, Henry, are you willing to take responsibility for the changes or anything that you want to work on? In other words, I'm putting the responsibility on you.
Mm.
If this didn't work, it's not my fault. You're taking the responsibility. A lot of people come into a counseling situation thinking, I'm not responsible for this. Yeah. This is, you know, the counseling didn't work.
Right. Right.
No,
I've heard that so often.
Yeah.
The counseling did not work. Yes. I tried counseling. It didn't work.
Right.
And you're saying that even in the first encounter, you're making it clear that if it does work, it works because you decide to do something.
And then specifically, okay, like appointments. If we're going to make appointments and change appointments, you call. Don't make me chase after you.
Right.
If I'm the one chasing after you, I'm the one that wants this.
Right.
And you don't. Hmm. So I'm putting all the responsibility on you and you know, engaging in the process. That's, you know, and giving a priority of time.
Right.
So number seven, that's what number seven is. Make coaching relationship a priority. Are you willing to do that?
Right.
If you're doing this and your life is so busy that you don't have any time to do anything, then it's not going to work. You have to be, as a client, you have to be willing to say, yes, I'm making this a priority with my life. It, you know, my life is busy and there's a lot of challenges, but right now I want to work on this.
Right.
And then finally, number eight, and this is a little, you know, this is could be dicey.
Okay.
Are you willing to pay?
Oh, pay.
Yes. Pay, because now, this is where, you know, if you have a coaching thing already established that was already on your little card or your info sheet, and there's a, you know, per session amount and all these things, but when you're getting started, it might be a little harder. So, you know, if you're just starting out in this sort of thing, what I'm saying is something is necessary at this point.
Right.
Now maybe you're just starting and, you know, let's say you're with friends and you just want to practice on your friends.
Right.
Make them pay.
Right.
And it could just be this. All right, I'm willing to do this, but you have to take me out to dinner or something.
Oh, okay.
But that little bit of something
makes
it so that they take it seriously.
Right.
So that's part, you know, part of the pay thing is that people take it responsibly.
Could even be things like, you know, so let's say you're a life coach minister out of a church and you have a little basket, you know, paying would be a donation.
Yep.
You know, so it could be a lot of ways you could develop this currency.
Yes.
But you're saying that somebody needs to just.
Yes. Otherwise, you know, and that's, you know, both of us have experienced in church where people come in for pastoral care or counseling. And it's a marriage or whatever it might be. And we're always chasing them. They come to the session late.
Yeah.
They don't follow through with what's done. When you're trying to make a time to meet with them, I can only do it on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. You're like changing your whole schedule to fit their life. Whereas when they go to see the doctor says, well, I have an opening at 1 o'clock. In the afternoon. Yeah, well, I work. Yeah, well, too bad. You want to meet me? It's at 1 o'clock. So everywhere else in life, people have to accommodate their life to the thing.
Right.
But as pastors, we tend to accommodate our whole life and our whole schedule to them. And then we get this lukewarm, you know, passion and energy towards the thing.
But, I mean, but really, I just want to help people and... Yeah, I think that's a difficult expectation for many ministers.
Yes, because we're servants, and I want to do anything I can to help
you. So you're saying it will hurt those I'm serving if they don't put skin in the game and they don't pay.
That's what I'm saying.
The most servant-hearted thing to do is to get to this point and say, are you willing to pay? Now, you might, like I said, you might have expectations laid out. You might even say, our life coaching is a donation expectation.
Yes. I mean, there's an envelope to donate into our offering back thing on Sunday.
Right.
Something that puts it on them. And if, you know, because if they're unwilling to step up a little bit, they're not going to follow through with all the things you come
across. Well, and I will tell you what I've learned at Christian Leaders Institute. That if you're a vision partner of this ministry, the people who complete the classes, it's over the top.
Yeah.
The percentage.
Right.
Even if they give, it's very small little gift.
Right.
It amazes me the difference.
Right.
Now, again, some people I know, you have no money, you're in a situation, and you're doing it because the Lord is. But I'm just making the observation. Yes. My observation is that is true.
Yes. And, you know, for some of you, you know, you got into CLI, and once you get into the classes, that is like self-priming. The reward is in doing the work and so on. But here in the coaching thing, I haven't given you anything yet.
Right.
And it's hard to get that going.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to start taking it seriously. And people at first think they're going to take it seriously. But you find out with the first assignment, you know, what are you going to do this week? And then you meet with them the next time, and they've done nothing.
I mean, is that all in that piece of paper then?
Yeah.
See, because I could see many of us going through and just going down the list, and then that last one, are you willing to pay? We would be like stuttering. I'm just saying, you're saying to me and to all of us, that do it.
Yes.
Just like figure out what the currency means, whether it's a envelope, whether it's a fee or whatever. Right. Are you willing to pay?
Yes.
Like that? You say it like that?
Well, are you, Henry, willing to pay?
Yes.
Yes, you just did. You just took me out for lunch. You prepaid.
Right.
So you're taken care of here.
Okay. Yes. Taken care of.
All right, so those are the prerequisites. And again, they're just touching points. You know, if the client really gets into one of these subjects, you might go in deeper. If they really all of a sudden are, you know, want to know more about the Holy Spirit, you could go into a little teaching session. But you don't want this to take control of the whole thing. This is just a broad overview.
Gotcha.
Will help you understand what you're working with. Hopefully, you know, and not everyone's perfect, but hopefully they have some of these things going,
right?
So that you have enough of a basis to trust,
right?
That they can, do things. They can solve some of their own problems. But if they don't do that well on some of these prerequisites, in the back of your mind, you know, when you bump into a thing, you're going to have to do a little more teaching.
Right.
You're going to have to put that teaching hat on, or that. You know, we'll talk more about the different badges that you might have to put on.
I see.
You might have to put on a parenting badge or a marriage badge and do a little bit of teaching.
Right.
Because they just don't have enough stuff there to work with.
Right.
You know, we're trying to help you.
What happens if you get someone who has a serious objection to one of those things and they then... we've known in counseling stuff like that, where all of a sudden someone gets an allergic reaction to one of those.
Like let's say they like Jesus, but they don't like the church.
Yeah,
you know, church, a bunch of hypocrites, and they.
Right.
I would just go, okay, I'm just listening. I'm hearing you. Again, I wouldn't kick them out the door. I wouldn't say you got to change your mind on this church or we can't proceed.
Right.
I would keep proceeding knowing that there's this problem, and we'll see if this problem surfaces somewhere in his, you know, it may surface when he fails at something, and then it's going to be a great teaching moment.
Gotcha.
You know, I'll tell you, can I put the teaching hat on and I go, could it be that you don't have enough support in your life and that's why you keep failing at the thing that you want to do? And now they're more willing to think about this whole thing. Because they've been failing at something. Rather than, I don't really know you, and now we're going to have an argument about how important church is.
Right. Gotcha.
So I think it's, again, and you want to, as a pastor, you want to get into each one of these. Because each one of these, you know, taking responsibility, the Spirit, walk with God, being part of church, which one of these is not important?
Right.
They all are very important. So you want to get into it.
In some ways, it behooves you to hold back.
Hold back a little.
Just hold back.
And in some ways, a lot of coaching is that.
Really?
You're holding back.
Right.
Giving the person space,
I see,
to come to it.
Got it.
And if you trust the coaching process long enough, mm-hmm. there's a good chance that the client will come to it. Or there'll be a better opportunity where now you can finally put the teaching hat on, and now they're going to be able to listen. Because, number one, you've already helped them do so many things.
Right.
Now they trust you. You have a lot of things going for you in the beginning.
Right.
You know, who am I? And I'm just sitting here with a pad of paper in my hands. So I'm not trying to get into anything with you. I'm accepting you wherever
right.
you're at. But I'm giving you a little precursor of what we might get into later.
I don't understand totally this question. Okay. And you said, trust the coaching process. Can you explain that further? Like, if you trust the coaching process, what's so special about this process?
The coaching process is really, I think, giving the client time to figure things out rather than telling them.
Okay.
So, like, for example, in parenting, a lot of parenting is just telling the kid exactly
right,
what to do.
Right.
Look, put your socks on. You pull this one on first, put the second one on, and I'll pull your pants on. And we totally direct that whole thing.
Yeah.
The coaching process would just throw two socks at the kid and see what he does.
Right.
He puts it on his head, and he puts it on his hands, he puts it here, he puts it there.
Right.
But you know what? Eventually, they'll put it on their feet.
Right.
You just have to be, you know, oh, that's interesting. They put it on their head.
Right.
Is that working? You know, eventually, you ask enough questions, and people can kind of figure out how to do it. It's like, remember when I took you sailing in Vancouver?
Yeah.
I had a sailboat living in Vancouver.
Like 25, 30 years ago now.
Yeah, it was a 22-foot boat. We're in the harbor of Vancouver, and the wind is whipping around, and I just said, here's the rudder, and I moved over.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you how to do it. I didn't say turn this way or turn that way.
I'm starting to freak out.
Yes. But within 5-10 minutes,
right,
you figured out what to, you know, you pull it opposite direction and all that. Within 5-10 minutes, you know what you're doing.
Right.
So that I'm trusting, you know, I look at you and I go, intelligent person, you should be able to figure this out.
Here's the prerequisites to actually tell us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, but I have to trust. Now,
right.
Most people are going to be way too controlling. They're going to, you know, oh, I have to teach you how to do this.
Yeah.
Whereas I would rather see you, you know, just, I know that you're going to figure it out. And the self-discovery process is way more motivating than me telling you. Now, I'm setting you up a little bit. I've got it in a certain direction. I'm helping you succeed undercover sort of.
Right, right.
You know, I want you to succeed in the best way, so I'm eliminating. We're not heading for an island.
Right.
You know, we're going to crash into something if you don't do it.
Right. Gotcha.
So, you know, so that's what it is.
Nice. That's very impressive.
All right. So that's the prerequisites. Next time, we'll actually look at a coaching session.